Hallo, guten Morgen alle. Also ich fühle mich ein bisschen besser, wenn ich ein bisschen Deutsch sagen kann. So just makes me feel a little bit better when I can at least say good morning, something like that. And I know that I don't need to apologize, is what you all tell me, but I would like to apologize that I couldn't preach in German. As you all know, I have learned a lot. I can say a lot more than just Ich heiße Adam, but I still have a lot to learn. So, yes, this morning I would like to talk to you all about trusting God's timing, trusting on God's timing instead of our own timing. And I would like to do that through a few different things, using some examples from our Bibles and talking a little bit about that, and also talking about my own experience and the experience that Dev and I have had just through our program here and spending our time with you all and all that entails. So starting off, I'll back up a little bit, rewind to when I graduated college. That was in 2016. I was studying math, and I was planning to be a teacher. Again, sorry, so a lot of you guys probably know all this already, so here's some of it again, but I hope that that's not a problem for you guys. We were married, Devin and I married in March 2017, and Devin had this passion. She had spent time in college, she had studied abroad and spent a lot of time in Europe and a lot of time in Vienna specifically, worked with the church there. And she had just really fallen in love with the culture in Vienna and the mission work and the work that they were doing there. So that's the type of person I married, someone who is in love with the way the church in German-speaking Europe functioned. And as we were in the first months of our marriage, so we were married in March, and then about the summer or so is when this question came to me that I really just couldn't get rid of. And that question was, how can I believe what I believe? How can I believe that Jesus did what he did and that he died for our sins and everything without centering my life on that idea? Not just my faith, but my whole life. So I was struggling with the idea of how can I believe that Jesus did all these things, but then still spend 40 hours a week or more doing something that on the surface doesn't seem like it relates at all to my faith. That was the idea I was struggling with, and I needed to get an answer to that question. Other people, many great examples, Christian examples, people that I would look up to, or many of you, or people that you guys look up to, have found their own answer to that question that doesn't always lead to being a preacher or a missionary, but it was something that I needed to answer for myself. What does it mean in my life? And that's what led me to the hymn program that we are doing now. It was a program that gave people the opportunity to really not just do short-term 1 week or 3 weeks, but 2 years to really get an idea of what it's like to be a missionary, to dedicate your life to serving God's kingdom and making that not only the center of your personal life or your spiritual life, but every aspect of your life. So we made that decision. That was in summer of 2017, maybe the beginning of the fall, of the autumn in 2017. Now, the normal program timeline for the hymn program, you would usually do, after you made the decision, you do the training and the fundraising and all that in the winter and in the spring, and then you would leave in the summer of that following year. Now, our program timeline, we started fundraising in winter of 2017, and while we were sending our first fundraising letters, Devin's grandfather got cancer and he passed away unexpectedly. He was going in for a gallbladder surgery, and then it didn't go well, and they found cancer, so just one thing led to another, and he passed away very quickly and unexpectedly. And so that kind of put our fundraising on hold while we had to deal with just the loss of a very close family member, especially for Davin. Her and her grandfather were very close. And also dealing with the estate and the house. We couldn't find his will. And so with the government, that makes everything a lot more complicated and take a lot longer. And just this mourning period. And this was the first example that we saw of God's timing and God's timing benefiting our plans when we look back, even just now, and it was not very long ago. Because the original timeline, we would have left in that summer, so we would have left 1 or 2 months right after he passed away. And with the way that Davin's relationship was with her grandfather, that would have been a really difficult place for her to start a new, totally new, I mean, job, a new missionary experience in a totally new culture. We didn't speak the language or anything like that. That would have been very challenging for her especially. And yeah, we also had to take care of his dog that he had left behind, and all of our stuff was there. And so just to drop everything right after this would have been very, very challenging. And so we were in way looking back grateful that we didn't stick with the original timeline of the program and that we had more time to deal with all of these things that were coming up. So the time is now fall 2018, and we again should have already been in Germany. And after this large delay, we decided, okay, it's time to send out more letters. We continued to pray that God would provide us with the funds that we need. And on Thanksgiving, so Thanksgiving 2018, we spoke to the Rankin family about planning to arrive in January of 2019. We said, we hope that we're going to have this really big fundraising push. Christmas is coming, the end of the year. People are ready to give out their money. It's that time of year, the season of giving, and it's going to be great. And we have these churches we're counting on, and it's going to happen. We're going to get it all, and we'll be there in January. That's our plan. Okay, we look forward to seeing you and meeting you in January. So, unfortunately, again, as you guys all know, that did not exactly happen. We had some underwhelming financial support even after I had preached a sermon at Devin's parents' church in Oregon. We didn't get the response that we were hoping for, that we had expected. And so this disappointment swelled as the new year came. Usually we like to start every new year with this new burst of energy. This year is going to be different. It's going to be better. And it was didn't really feel that way for us. And we were in this limbo state. It was just so difficult, this constant back and forth of saying, does God want us to go? Does God want us to stay? It was just exhausting, and not knowing, is this just a hardship that we're facing? Is this something that maybe that Satan is putting in our way? Or is this a sign that God is giving us saying, okay, this isn't where I want you anymore. I want you to be flexible and go where I want you to do, which is in the States somewhere, to stay here. So we started to wonder if our struggles to raise funds were a sign from which side. And so we decided, okay, we're going to set April 1st as a definitive date to know if we're going or we're not going. We need, by April 1st, we will have our money or we won't, and we will know we stay or we go. So some funds come in, of course. You were nice enough to volunteer your own financial support to help us get here and be with you all. And then from the church in Zurich, from the church in Bern, that gave us a huge boost in confidence and encouragement, and obviously the financial support. We had another family that we were close with back home that volunteered to increase their donation, which was already substantial. And then our church that we went to regularly also volunteered. They have a missions budget, and they gave us some as well. So that was really encouraging. And I would like to tell you all that funds being received from the place that you're going to. So the fact that you all as a church in Bremen were willing to support us to come and help you has never happened before. That has never, in the history of the program, that had never happened before. And getting funds from the churches in Zurich, getting funds from overseas had never happened before. It was always from the States. It was connections, family members and friends from the States that were supporting them. So that alone is something that we are very grateful for, that I'd like to say thank you for that. And you guys are now record holders as the first ones to ever do that. Yes, but unfortunately those funds weren't enough. So they got us very close, but it didn't get us to 100%. So then, of course, you still have this confusion that's like, wow, this is this really big, amazing push, but it's not exactly enough. Where is this rest, this other 5% going to come from? Does God want us to go or does he not? And it just added to this confusion. But it goes to show that every time we started to really doubt if God wanted us to be here or not, he would give us this boost. Sorry. Okay. I'll try to go slower. So every time we started to doubt, every time we started to wonder, is this where God wants us to be? he would give us this boost. He would give us a boost in the amount of money that we needed to raise, and we would get closer. Now, obviously, since I'm standing here before you all this morning, God did provide us with the money we need, and here we are, and we've been here for almost 2 years. So, I'd like to transition a little bit, take a break from the story that Devin and I have to talk a little bit about how delay, when something is delayed, that is not the same as the denial of something. There's a big difference there that can sometimes for us is a bit confusing. And so this is the time when we had really struggled for Devin and I this whole time deciding, do we do the program or not? We had this expectation of how our lives would be progressing. We had a plan for our lives, and we were counting on God to make it happen the way that we wanted. Even though this was a program that was centered around us dedicating our lives to God and serving His kingdom, we had a plan that says, okay, you know, like I told you, the schedule, and this is when you're supposed to start, you do your training, and then you do your fundraising, and then you leave. And we say, okay, God, this is what's supposed to happen, so do it this way. And we were faced with several delays on this road to get to Germany, and it was hard for us to remember that God wasn't saying no, but He was saying not yet. He wasn't saying no, but He was saying not yet. It's not time yet. And this is a distinction that is sometimes hard for us to remember in our lives. Because waiting on God's timing is one of the most difficult and frustrating things in life for us as humans. I've always said that in my life, two of the worst things just about life in general are the future, because we don't know what's coming and we want to know, and the hindsight, because it's so easy for us to look back and say, oh, I should have done this and I should have done that, and all it does is bring us grief. But this idea of God waiting on God's timing is right up there and saying this, it's really just really difficult for us because we want to know what's going to happen in our lives. And God knows. And we're like, if you could just give me that little voice that they heard in the Old Testament that says this is exactly what will happen for the next 10 years in your life. Say, all right, it's good, but it doesn't happen. So it's hard for us to wait on God's timing. And it's, I think, because as humans, we love to be in control of our own lives. That's part of just our nature. We like to have the control in our lives. I had the thought yesterday, I was just thinking of like, well, maybe that's because we were made in God's image. God is in control of everything. So maybe there's something related to why we want to, even though God is the one in control. But that's not the point for this morning. That was just the thought I had. But this idea, when we're told not yet, sometimes we only hear the negative. We're only hearing that not part. And in English, we shorten the, just cut that T off, there's that no that we all hear in our heads. And this is something that kids struggle with a lot, that I'm sure everyone who's a parent has experienced before. And to God, we're just kids. We have no years. He is much older than we are. And so we don't handle not yet, because patience is hard. Patience is hard for us.
Adam, could you be slower, please? It's too fast for Rebecca.
Okay. And so our trip to Germany was a blessing that God wanted to give to us, but it wasn't time yet. And God has tons of wonderful blessings that He wants to give to us, but we may not be ready for them. So, for example, giving your child the keys to a car before they're ready. If you give your key, if Elmar were to give his keys right now to his car to Anna and Josiah, that probably wouldn't go very well because they're not ready. But one day they will be, and it will be probably just a lot easier for both them and Elmer and Serena. Giving a child solid food, giving a baby solid food too early, giving a child an apple when they don't have any teeth is not good. Solid food is something that we as humans, of course, we need, But giving that to a baby doesn't work. They're not ready yet. But when we persevere, when we wait, and when we trust God, He will give us what He has promised us when He feels that we're ready for it. When we ask for something, God wants to give it to us, but we don't know when we'll receive it. We may think we're ready. We may think we deserve it, but God's timing is perfect. We may think our timing is perfect, but only God's timing is perfect. So, back a little bit to Devin and I in our story. We finally arrive October 28th, 2019. We are finally here, and the jet lag is very real for us. If any of you remember, I think we arrived on a Tuesday, and on Wednesday, so we got to meet everybody, and we had a prayer evening on Wednesday. So if you imagine, especially before COVID, so we're all sitting together and we put the chairs in a circle and we had our prayer evening. And of course, Devin and I spoke no German. So we're sitting there after probably being awake and asleep all throughout the day, then here for the next 45 minutes, just German prayer, German prayer, German prayer. And just, yeah. But we have a story about that now, so that was really fun. And then we had the retreat on that first weekend afterward together, and we were apartment searching, and just all these crazy things happening together. So we got there, we're settling into our new apartment, we're learning about our church family, experiencing these major cultural differences. And at the end of October, so November, December, it's Christmas time, and everybody's busy, people are traveling, everything is just a little bit different, there's so much going on. So, January 2020, it's the start to an amazing new year. It's filled with hope and with excitement. We're starting our language courses, we're starting to really learn German. We started regularly meeting with our youth group and having Bible classes. And then comes March of 2020. So the first thing we see is that our language classes get postponed through the spring break to be safe. And COVID arrives. COVID finally comes. And everything gets thrown off, as you guys, I'm sure, all our lives were totally thrown off by COVID. We can't meet together. Everything is closed. There's no warning. There's no preparation. And there's not even any toilet paper. And, of course, Zoom takes over the world. Zoom is now the new thing in the world. So, in a way, we felt like our whole experience was tainted by COVID, that COVID had ruined our time right at the very beginning. How could this be what God wanted for us? Of all the times for this to come, of all the times for the world to be struck with a pandemic, after all the trials that we faced to get here, we face a pandemic shortly after we arrive. We could have given up and gone home. We could have said it was too hard. We could have said that we didn't sign up for this. This wasn't in our contract. Our parents had to cancel their trips to come last year, of course. We canceled trips to visit other churches, like the church in Zurich, the church in Bern. Canceled trips to maybe visit some other countries when we'd have the time. But we had to trust in God's plan and wait for him to make it right. We thought it would last a few months. Then we thought the summer would kill it. And then we thought it would definitely end by the end of the year. By the end of 2020, it would have to be over. So that's, again, expectation versus reality. What we expect versus what actually happens, what God knows will happen. We sometimes feel like, even now, especially before, at the time when it was still in the heat of it, that we hadn't had the chance to experience normal life in a German city because of COVID. There were certain aspects of the culture that we felt like we hadn't ever been able to experience. We hadn't been able to even see other parts of the country, Berlin, Hamburg, you name it. We hadn't been able to participate in any church retreats or events, or we even had to cancel our potlucks until recently. Even meeting new people and making new friends was frowned upon. We weren't supposed to be meeting new people. So this couldn't possibly be what God wanted from us, could it? How could this possibly be what God wants? So expectation versus reality. So I'd like to get a couple examples for you guys from our Bibles. I'm going to read from Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. Genesis 15, 1 through 6. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if you indeed can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. And it says Abram believed the Lord, and I believe that he did. He believed that the Lord was telling the truth. But I don't know that he was necessarily expecting the same timeline that God was expecting. He was pretty old when he finally had his heir, and God knew the whole time. But Abram was most likely expecting some quick fulfillment. Like, if you're telling me that my children will be this many, I probably need to start now. But that didn't happen. Looking in the next chapter in Genesis 16, which I'm not going to read, but we have the story from Sarai and Hagar. So they looks like that they thought, Abram and Sarai thought, that God was moving a bit too slow, or maybe he forgot about them. So they took matters into their own hands, so to speak. And Sarai expects this plan to be perfect. She has her servant Hagar go to Abram, and then they will have a child, Sarai, that will become Sarai's child, and everything will be exactly the way that I want it to be. It will all go perfectly. But it doesn't happen that way. It's Hagar, most likely, feels that it is her child, which, of course, we would understand. And then she starts to have contempt for Sarai. She says, that's my baby, give it back. So Sarai sent her away. It didn't work out the way that Sarai had expected it to. And then a couple verses from Genesis 17, verses 15 through 17. God also said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, You are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." So, and they're expecting this to be fulfilled by normal means. They're not expecting this to be something that happens when Sarah is so old. They're expecting this to happen at a normal, probably childbearing age. But we know the story, and it doesn't happen that way. Abraham had an expectation, and God had a different plan. Abraham became impatient and was tired of waiting on God. He thought, this can't be right. God, I know you promised me that you're going to give me all these children, but what's happening now, that can't be right. This can't be what you meant. So here, let me help you. Let me help you with this, because I think you forgot something. Another example is David becoming king. And we won't read anything from there, but he's anointed at one time. And he didn't become king until years later. In 1 Samuel 16, he's anointed. And then he's not crowned king until 2 Samuel 5. So he was, I think, 15 when he was anointed by Samuel. And he was roughly 30 when he became king. And we would think even now, I mean, usually you would think when you're anointed, your time as king is probably coming. It should be coming soon after, just part of the process. Kind of, I think maybe we'd see it now as kind of like paperwork. You file the paperwork, hopefully a week or two, not 15 years. God's plan, this is an example that God's plan doesn't depend on our human standards of time or on our expectations. God's timing is perfect. He knows what he's doing. We know the stories of what happened in David's life, and he was crowned king at the right time. And of course, probably the best example that we could have in our Bibles of expectations versus reality, or human expectations versus God's plan, is the Israelites, the people of Israel. And they wanted their deliverance. They expected to always be on top and a great nation. They were the chosen people. They were the chosen people of the God Yahweh, the God of Israel, the same God that we have today. They can never be defeated. And of course, they were enslaved multiple times for many years. We're promised salvation. God promises salvation to his people. Eventually, the Jews were given salvation through Jesus. That salvation is not what they expected. So they denied it. God fulfilled his promise of salvation, of delivering his people, and he gave them the gift that he told them they would receive. But they wanted something different. So they blamed God for not fulfilling his promise, and they're still waiting now. So the purpose for our time in Germany is not at all what we expected it to be, but it's the way God designed it to be. If we hadn't come, or if we had decided to leave, anything that we've done most likely wouldn't have been done. Mainly that would be due to just not having anyone available. Our youth group would not be meeting regularly, most likely. We wouldn't have a Bible class for the young people. Much more work would be put on the parents, many of you, to do these children's classes. And even when we look at if we had stayed, we might have been in a scary or uncertain situation if we were in the States. We could have been unemployed or on severely reduced income. We don't know how our jobs may have been affected if we had kept them. But with the program, with being here, everything was stable. We knew where we were supposed to be. We knew where our money was coming from. And we made the most of our experience. COVID, Corona, it would have happened regardless. Whether we were here in Bremen, if we were at home, it was coming. No matter what our plans were, it was going to happen. So there's no point in dwelling on the way it could have been, hindsight, because that's not the reality. All we can do is focus on this is the way things are, this is the way God has designed it to be, that way that he knew it would be. So now how am I going to respond to that? How am I going to respond to God's plan and to God's timing? And so God has a plan, and our job is not to question his plan, to correct his plan, to remind him of his plan, but just to trust in his plan. Even now, we don't know everything about why God wanted us here when COVID ruled the earth. We might not always think of God's timing as being to our benefit. Even when we know why God has an appointed time and a special task, we may not agree with it. We may not like it. For example, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane right before his crucifixion, and we know Jesus knew what was going to happen, he knew what God's plan was, that didn't stop him from praying so hard, God, please, if there is another way, take this cup from me. Jesus knew what had to happen. He knew what God's plan was. He was there from the beginning. He knew what to expect. But that didn't stop him from asking, God, if there is another way, please take this from me. So even when we know what God's plan is, we might not always like it. We might not always see it the way he does. And unfortunately, God does not promise that our lives will be easy. He doesn't promise that we will always be happy. He doesn't promise that our plans will always be fulfilled. God does promise that he will bless his faithful. We'll look at a couple verses from James, from chapter 1, which I've been... James chapter 1, and really much all of James, but especially chapter 1, just keeps coming up again and again and again. So I don't know if you guys have heard it as many times as me in the past year or two, verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And I'd like to jump down to verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. So he will bless his faithful. Those who remain faithful, he will bless. He promises that he will never forsake us. And he promises that his love for us is deeper than any ocean. It is higher than any mountain. And it is everlasting. So I encourage you to ask yourselves this morning, what areas are there in your life where do you always trust God? Do you always trust God? Do you ever expect God to act on your timing? Do you ever wonder if God's timing is truly perfect? Is it really as perfect as it can be? Or could it just be a little bit better? I feel like I know how I can make God's timing just a little bit more perfect. So I encourage you to trust on God, and he will bless you. His plan will come, and his blessings will come when he feels that you're ready for them. Let's pray. Great God and Father in heaven, thank you for this time you have given us this morning, together as a family. We thank you for the songs we sang. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to celebrate communion together and to remember your sacrifice on the cross. Father, we pray that you would help us to always trust your timing, that no matter what happens in our lives, we are trusting that you know what's best and that you will take care of us. Help us to look at the examples we have and to learn from them, the examples in our lives and the examples we have in our Bibles. Help us to always be looking for new ways to serve your kingdom and to trust that blessings will come to us when you think we're ready. Please be with us this morning. Bless our fellowship together and allow us to always be loving you, loving each other, and loving all those that we meet. Amen.